Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with J.P. Finley.
This is J.P. Finley, and everything sucks. Welcome to Redskins Talk after a second straight blowout loss for the Redskins. I'm here with Rich Tandler. Tandler, say what's up.
What's up?
Local
Not
celebrity.
Much enthusiasm in that what's up, but
yeah,
it is.
Local celebrity Mitch Tischler.
What's up?
I mean, what the hell, everybody? Let's set the stage where we are, because I think this is going to start our discussion. And I just came up with this, so work with me here, folks. We are in the visiting team interview room. What that means is that is where Jay Gruden and Kirk Cousins address the media and give their press conferences. During his press conference, Jay Gruden was asked if the Redskins' defense has regressed. The answer to that is very clearly yes, by the way. But
30 points allowed in 6 of their last 8 games.
And 4 of their last 5. And here's the thing. Yes, the defense has regressed. But Jay, being a class act, said it's not about the defense. Every facet of this team has regressed. The offense has regressed. Special teams have regressed. And the defense has regressed. And then what Jay said that I found interesting is I've regressed. I haven't gotten these guys ready to play. You know what, Coach? You're right. These guys were not ready to play. Mitch and I talked about it down on the field before the game. There's a tweet out there. You can see I have it documented that I didn't think they were ready to play. The vibe here was dead.
I mean, the vibe pregame was dead, but it started before the players ever came out in pads. Before the games, guys come out in T-shirts and shorts and walk through and do a little warm-up or whatever. 2 hours before the game, there were 40 Chargers on the field, and there were 3 Redskins.
I saw that.
I mean, it was weird at the time we were talking about it because we shoot all that stuff for our pregame show, and there was nothing to shoot. And it just was, you know, emphasized even more with Rivers out there throwing passes. And, you know, Kirk eventually came out and with the wide receivers and did their normal thing. But
right. Everybody did their normal
thing. Everyone did their normal thing. It was just later. It was more
reserved.
Yeah. Like, blah.
Yeah.
Like DJ Swearinger said about practice all week. It was blah.
All right. Let's go to RT. Give us your reaction from that shit show.
Well, once again, excuse me, it was
how far in did we get before Tandler coughed?
That was a throat clear. That didn't count.
All right. Well, we're 2.5 minutes in, dude.
But the it was overcoming adversity, which they did not do in Dallas.
Man, it wasn't even overcoming adversity. They let the Chargers go right down the field on the first drive.
I know. But you know what? If they do that, then they needed to respond with a drive of their own.
And they did.
You know, and they did.
I don't think you can call that adversity.
I do. I think trailing 10-0 is adversity. They had the chance to they made it 13-6 after Rose smacked the extra, which happens. I mean, that's not.
It looked like snap, hold, kick. None of it looked right, I don't think. I got to watch that replay again, but none of it looked
speaking
good.
Speaking of which, there are not many ways to watch plays twice because we had a cameraman in the way of ourselves and the one monitor in the and the press box.
So I don't know. I sat further up. Right. I did not sit in my assigned seat,
right.
LA Chargers media people, if you're listening to this, because my assigned seat was basically like hanging off a cliff. So I sat higher up in the press box, which was all right because I had a TV there. I could see replays, whatever.
Anyway, so the Redskins score to make it 13-6. The proper response is come out, get a three and out, and give your offense the chance to score and take the lead. But what happens? Boom. One play, 75 yards. The game was over pretty much then. I mean, it was 20-6.
It was.
At that point.
I don't think it's adversity if you don't even get off the bus. And these guys basically didn't get off the bus today. It was dead from the get-go.
It's not adversity. Like, adversity is something went wrong. Someone got hurt. An incident occurred.
No, it's the game doesn't go your way. Like in Dallas last year. They couldn't, you know, they had the interception that went through Crowder's arms. You had the fumble. And they just did. They got into a little bit of a hole, 10-0, not insurmountable. And they just couldn't overcome it.
But against Dallas, there were plays to be made. Crowder makes that catch. They get the interception, whatever happens. There were no plays to be made. They weren't in the right spot.
Well, then you got to make it. There was a play to be made to Vernon Davis. I think that would have made it.
Yep, that would have been a touchdown.
Made it a one-score game, I think, right? Was it 20-6 at that point, I think?
The defense looked.
You're right. Do you know the play he's talking about? It's tough because Mitch might have been on the other side of the field. But the
fourth down,
the throw to Vernon was almost there, but it wasn't there.
And by the way, it had a little competition on Twitter. I said it wasn't a good throw by Cousins.
Unbelievable,
back
yeah.
and forth. It wasn't. Yes, it was. No, it wasn't. I wasn't going back and forth, but the fans were. Kirk said he missed the throw. For those of you who were saying, oh no, that was a good throw. Vernon saw it for about a tenth of a second coming over his head. I don't think he really had a chance
throw.
To lay out for it.
Cannot miss that throw.
No, and he said so. Kirk Cousins said so.
Not to turn this into a Kirk discussion at this moment, but how many receivers did Kirk leave in a bad spot today? How many times did those running backs and the quick wide receiver screens, were those guys just getting blown up?
It started the very first pass
to Crowder, got killed.
Yeah.
And that should have been a flag, by the way.
Yeah, you never see them pick up those flags.
They never pick it up. That's a $30,000 fine. I mean, he's going to get it. But
right.
I tell you what, and we can talk about the validity of the Cousins reports that the receivers don't like him, but after today's performance, there are times where you see Kirk puts guys in bad situations. Maybe all quarterbacks do that. Maybe it's heightened because of recent conversations. But, hell, it was happening today.
I mean, that's also a little bit the offense in the NFL today because
right.
receivers get – offense gets all the calls and you get unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on the defense if you put a guy in a bad situation. But, man, the guy, like everybody just felt like everybody took at least one big shot today.
And since we're talking about – weird Twitter beefs during that game. The ball to Josh Doctson on the outside was in no way catchable. That thing, Manute Bol wasn't
catching
that.
He did well to get a hand on it.
Right. And the people that are questioning the effort of not going up with two hands, he was never going to catch that damn ball.
That other hand wasn't going to reach over there.
Right. And he still got popped. He got popped right on the knee on that. So whatever theory that is, that, and I think they were saying that it was in the broadcast, incorrect, man. Incorrect.
You're seeing what you want to see.
Right.
And, you know, you should view it, you know, well, of course, you know, you're not going to view it objectively because you have your agenda and that's the way you want to do it.
Yeah, man. I mean, going back to the defense real quick, saw Swearinger running after guys with his hands out. Like, what the hell is going on? This is weak.
You know what?
What week are we in?
It's weak. And, I mean, who are they missing? You know, they had four week one starters. Everett was the week one starter at safety.
Yeah, that's true.
And so they have Dunbar and Breeling, you know, they're nickeled.
Breeling got benched. And they can say it was lots of different things, but they took Breeling out for two drives and had Dunbar out there, and it was a coach's decision.
It was more than that.
I thought it was two or three.
Yeah, it was a while. Of course, the drives went on forever.
Yeah, it was the entirety of the second half.
Right.
But he did that long pick six.
Yeah, so
I mean,
that's good.
Counts for nothing.
Right, it totally counts for nothing. Scale of 1 to 10, how hot is Jay Gruden's seat, Tandler?
2.
Mitch?
4.8. That's getting there.
4.8 is too high. I think 2.8 maybe. I think it's a little high. Jay Gruden, unless it's these performances finish the – if the remaining three games are all blowout losses, things can change. Gruden is safe. I think you are looking at changes could occur, though. A coordinator gets named, an offensive coordinator gets added, a change defense coordinator, change a special teams coordinator. I just hope
it's not a bingo caller.
Oh, jeez. All right, give Taylor the mic back. Taylor, how hot is Greg Minuski's seat?
If it was his second year, it'd be very hot. It's his first year. But, I think he should definitely be – I put it this way. He should be on the hot seat entering week one 2018. He's instantly on the hot seat.
Okay. So, but you didn't give me a number.
Oh, for this year?
For Minuski.
Two.
I'm going over.
I'm going a little over that one, too.
Yeah, dude. I think that is closer to your 4.8. I don't think they make a change, but – I think something's going to happen.
I just had one quick comment about the Gruden 4.8.
Sure. That it was too high?
No. We as the media, and I would hope fans, and I think people would like to appreciate the fact that he's honest at the podium. However, the more that he points blame in his direction without somebody asking about it, I think that's troublesome with the way that we've seen coaches being dealt with in D.C. over the years.
I don't think so. I don't think that. I think they respect that he's honest and forthright.
I certainly do. Anyway, back to.
But I also think if they win the next two, a lot of this conversation goes away. You got two games against the Cardinals and the Broncos.
I do think the injuries give him a pass.
Injuries help.
That's the main reason I have him down at a two.
All right.
And the 3 years remaining on the contract, $15 million. Right. That makes it less.
I had a conversation with somebody today because I was curious about this. Occasionally, when a contract extension occurs, especially when it's not players, when it's coaches or front office folks, the contract extension doesn't take place until the existing contract runs out. I was told that's not the situation with Jay, so that the contract is in effect already. It's not like, you know,
he gets three years after.
Right.
Two
it's not
more
like
years.
Why would anybody sign a deal like that where you're tied to them?
Language.
You're tied to them after a year. You know, if you win the Super Bowl and you deserve a raise, but you're tied to them at your old pay if they decide. But then if you're not, they can fire you for free.
I don't know.
That sounds like you got to be pretty dumb to sign a deal like that. Jay Gruden may be a lot of things, but he ain't dumb.
I agree.
He's made some money from. His assurances from Dan Snyder.
Tish, did you give us a percentage on Minuski? We're going all over the place. I don't know.
It's not a percentage. I'm going to give you a number.
Okay.
I'm going to go 4.8.
So you got Gruden and Minuski at the same?
If we want to keep going down the line, I would give everybody the same number right now.
Wow. I don't agree with
that. I'm not saying that there aren't coaches that or people that deserve more blame than the others. I just think that if a coach goes, I think you might see all of the coaches go.
But I do not think Jay Gruden's going anywhere.
I agree. But I don't think Minuski is either.
What about Ben Kawika? It's tough because special teams were good last year.
And the year before.
Kawika's been good. But I just wonder if at some point somebody doesn't want something to happen.
You've got if somebody wants a head to roll, he's probably as good as any. But, you know, the injuries have that.
Injuries
have that.
Crush special teams.
Yes. Chain reaction.
Right.
Type of thing.
Mitch is looking at me because I didn't give a number on who. Minuski? What I said for Gruden, 2.8, I'll give Minuski 4.5. I think he's in more danger. I think Kawika might be in the most danger if there becomes a heads must roll situation. We got to do something. I think special teams have been bad this year. And a lot of it has nothing to do with the coach. The coach doesn't make a snap on an extra point. The coach doesn't fumble punt returns. But we've seen it before in D.C. with the Skins when something's got to happen because people are pissed off.
My only point about Kawika is for the most part, and not that there haven't been play design breakdowns, the punt returns for touchdowns and whatnot. For me, I think his downfall has been not replacing Crowder, not making changes at places where a player has failed on special teams. And injuries obviously play a big role on that. The offensive line on the field goals and extra points and whatnot. But I think it's almost criminal that Crowder was back out there last week catching more punts.
You got, when everybody yells, fire the coach, fire the quarterback, you got to have an option. They don't have an option. I mean, they had Niles Paul practicing returning punts in warmups. Who are you going to?
Right.
Kendall Fuller is the backup. Is the backup.
And hasn't returned a punt in 5 years.
Right. He did it his first year at Virginia Tech and just a couple of them, and that's it.
Great, but if your guy that's out there is fumbling three times, how can you keep throwing him out? I mean, we don't have to relitigate this.
Right, and there's also a difference between muff punts and then a fumble on the return.
Right.
Again, I feel like we're – what do we normally do in the post-game podcast? Do we do game balls?
Yeah, but we're not giving any
Is there anybody
balls.
That
– And every 46 goats, so I think we just dismiss with that.
Okay. Well done, Taylor. What – else do we need to do? Over-unders?
Right.
All right.
Oh, I was hoping we'd skip that. Okay.
Aha. Sounds like I won.
You did.
Bang. Cheerwine time.
Let's see. Let me pull those up.
We had Kirk went way under, okay. Right? We don't even need to add it up.
How many?
Kirk, I haven't looked at the stats. Kirk's passing yards.
Just take a
Did
take
he
a
even
shot.
Get to 200?
Lower.
Get out of here.
Lower.
175?
Lower.
Are you serious? What's the number? Just tell me now.
151.
Holy moly.
I will look that up.
Give me the stat line.
That has to be – wait, let me find the over-unders here. Then
that has to be his worst game.
It has to be. Redskin. Yes.
I was talking with JP after the game, and he asked me if I thought it was his worst game ever. And I was like, I think it's his worst game since week 17, just the optics of, you know, whatever was happening. But – after hearing this these numbers, I didn't get a chance to see final stats at that point. But hearing these numbers, it's hard to argue that that's not his worst.
Okay,
15 of 27 for 151, a touchdown and a pick. And honestly, there were two or three passes from other folks of his that could have been intercepted. That slant to Doxson could have been picked off.
Yep.
There were a couple of them. Man.
Although Doxson needs to attack that ball a little better. But.
Yeah, he's got to win on the route too, but he didn't. I mean, I thought they could run the ball and have success. Samaje Perine, 17 for 45, 2.6 a pop.
But, you know, they did stick with it. They did stick
they
with the
sure
run.
Sure did.
Which, but, you know, but you don't sustain. They ran 50 plays.
So, Kirk, I said under, you said over?
Yeah.
What does that get him, Mitch? What else do we have? Perine?
We were both, we had Perine.
We were both
had
wrong.
Over.
Yep.
101 and a half. And we had Keenan Allen, 99.5. We both had under. He went over. But he didn't score a touchdown, so his streak got a
– Right.
Let's see. How many catches did he have?
That guy's a beast.
Six. Six targets, six catches, 111 yards. But no touchdowns.
That's pretty good. Yo, real quick, how good is Phillip Rivers?
He is really – you know, it's just –
He has a funky throwing motion, too.
Yeah.
Kind of throws it like a javelin or something.
And he can do some sidearm. He can do some almost underhand. He does a lot of, and he's very smart. I mean, I think sometimes, you know, you talk about them getting blown up on bubble screens. You know, he knows when to just throw the ball in the dirt at the receivers, at the running back's feet on the short passes.
You know what was interesting was on the sideline, and obviously both these guys have been around for a while, but 12. Colt was sitting there.
How are you holding up, Mitch?
So it's been a long day. Colt was sitting there calling out plays as they were lining up for him. He was yelling at the defense, screen, screen. Didn't do a lot of good, but he was all over the Chargers formations or whatever. He knew what was coming.
Somebody needs to get in there in somebody's headset in the middle there.
Man.
Something that's important, I see JP looking at Twitter right now, we should talk about is DJ Swearinger's comments after the game.
That's what I was just about to bring
up,
man.
He talked a lot about how the team didn't prepare well, how he would have liked for that extra day over the bye week to be game prep, and it was a day off for the guys. But he talked about how it's up to the individual players to prep themselves, and if they don't know how to prep, they need to ask the vets, and that it's a problem on the team that they're not prepared for these games. DJ is a guy who's, you know, as honest as anyone, and he's talked about this before about the faults in their preparation, but you know, as the season starts going, that those comments carry a little more water.
Dude, and we talk about Gruden, and you can talk about Gruden's comments about himself. I think players' comments about something like that can turn up the heat too.
He also made a point, Swanger did, to this extent, that he would have liked that extra day to prep, but that it wasn't on the coaches, that it was on the players that they need to prep. But that's also him, you know, biting the bullet, saying, I have wide shoulders, I can carry the load, you know, type thing. But it was eye-opening a few weeks ago.
If you have a regular week, I think you have to give the players a day off. I think that's like a CBA rule that you can't, you know, you can't just work them 7 days.
No,
even
I don't
if
think
you just had the break.
Oh, okay. So be it.
Monday starts the week,
yeah.
And they have to have a day off between them and, you know, Sunday. Obviously, for a Thursday game,
right,
they don't have to
it's
have
different.
One. Right.
I guess, yeah. I mean, regardless of the semantics, I guess, of taking that extra day to work, if he's
– right.
If he's troublesome.
They can come in voluntarily.
Yes. And Swearinger said pregame, guys were asking questions about game plan and if we're running X, Y, or Z. And he's like, that can't be the case. Like, you can't be on game day asking – you know, are we going to go single high or, you know, two wide, whatever it is.
Well, that's what he said. You know, it's the communication. And, again, these were not new defensive backs there. These are guys who have been there through training camp, starting, playing tons of snaps. And it's just it's mystifying why there would be communication problems.
I think we've given a lot of – we've given passes along the way because of the injuries to the linebackers, to the O-line, to the D-line,
sure.
To the running backs, wide receivers, whatever it may be. The secondary has been pretty healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, and not only have they been healthy, they, you know, D'Angelo Hall, for whatever it is, they added him, you know, they've added more depth than they did anywhere else. And
right.
They seem, at the moment, to be the most troubled group.
They're having problems. Of course, they could use a little more pass rush. That would help. Rivers did have, you know, to complete that long one, he had time, and he didn't even break a sweat back there.
Man, looking at these offensive numbers are just staggering. I mean,
2 of 12 on third down.
I'm talking about the Chargers, what they gave up. Rivers didn't even complete the game. I think he came out early in the fourth, or was it?
No, it was late in the fourth.
It was at the 11 minute mark was when Kellen Clemens came in.
It was 11 minutes left in the game. That's a while. And he had 300.
Oh, okay.
He had 319 yards. When he left with 11 minutes.
He could have written his own number pretty
Dude.
Much if he'd wanted to.
Melvin Gordon had, I mean, they must have piled up another, what is that, 180 on the ground or something? I mean, this is just staggering. They plain and simple, got their ass kicked, and I'm not sure showed up in this one.
I mean, Tandler, you said it earlier, right? Six of the last eight games, they've given up 30-plus.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
I mean, you're not winning. You're not winning in the NFL. Giving up 30 plus a week. Like,
no.
That just isn't – that's not a recipe for winning.
Man, unless anybody has anything to say, we're done. You got anything to say, Taylor?
Well, thanks for listening through it. And please subscribe. I mean, we have – you know, I mean, we tell it like it is around here. We're not going to give you a cheery podcast when there's when the results are like this. But just continue to check us out. We appreciate – and do reviews. You know, if you're not, you know, games are getting blowout late, just pull up your podcast app on your phone and leave a review.
Yeah, man, you can do all that. You can do that later in the week. Right now you can just sulk. Go, I don't know.
Okay.
Go drink one of the many beers that J.P. Finley owes you.
I bought some beers for folks at the rally.
You did. We took pictures of them.
We're gonna have a party after the season because we all need to hang out. All right, we're going to call it. Thank you guys very much for listening. We will talk soon. They're literally turning the lights off on us.
Turn
here at the
off
stadium.
The lights.
Tandler,
the
stop.
The party's over.
All right. What? Oh, the lights came back on because you started singing, Tandler. All right. Thank you very much, guys. We will talk
soon. Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field, too, when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Commuter Connections, thank you again for listening. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
I owe you a beer.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.